Welcome back, everyone. Today, we're going to delve into the realm of mind-reading technology. Well, not exactly mind-reading, but close. We're exploring research that suggests technology might be able to identify mental activities. Imagine a device that could tell whether you're engrossed in a book or simply relaxing, all by analyzing your brainwaves.
What we're looking at today is a fascinating research paper from the University of Stuttgart. They've been working with brain-computer interfaces, BCIs, as they're often called, to do just that, identify specific mental states.
And what's really intriguing is that this research utilizes a single electrode BCI, a far more user-friendly and accessible approach compared to some of the complex systems often seen in this field.
It really does open up some exciting possibilities.
It does. Primarily, can this type of technology be used to monitor mental tasks in a practical and insightful way, offering potential benefits for learning or even well-being? To answer that, let's dive into the details of the experiment itself. They had 20 native Arabic speakers participate, focusing on 5 distinct mental tasks.
And the reason they chose to use Arabic language materials is quite clever, actually. It was to ensure that the mental effort associated with each task was as isolated as possible. They didn't want the participants' brains to be working overtime just to process a foreign language, so to speak.
That's good foresight on the researchers' part. So we have reading, relaxation techniques, listening to a radio program, watching a documentary, even Sudoku puzzles. Quite a diverse range of activities. How can a simple, almost headband-like device differentiate between these activities just by analyzing brainwaves?
That's where the real ingenuity of this research lies in the analysis. Because outwardly, these activities might appear quite similar. Think about it. Someone sitting still with their eyes closed could be intensely focused on a problem, or they could be enjoying a few moments of peaceful meditation. To differentiate between these states, the researchers use machine learning, specifically Bayesian networks, to analyze patterns in the EEG data. In essence, they were teaching a computer to recognize the subtle electrical signatures of each activity.
So, did it work? Could the computer actually tell the difference between, say, genuine relaxation and the mental exertion of tackling a Sudoku puzzle?
Well, as with most groundbreaking research, the answer is a bit nuanced. They actually tested 2 approaches for this classification. The first, what they called user-dependent models, were trained on data specific to an individual's brain. Essentially, the computer learned the unique brainwave patterns of each person for each activity. These models were remarkably accurate, particularly for reading, where they achieved an astounding 97.2% accuracy.
Wow, 97.2%. So, theoretically, this device could tell with almost absolute certainty that you were immersed in a book simply by interpreting your brainwaves. That's incredible.
It is quite remarkable, and it opens up some very interesting possibilities for the future.
It does. Imagine libraries incorporating this technology into their reading lamps, tracking engagement with different books in real time. The possibilities are fascinating. You mentioned they tested a second approach as well. I'm assuming it wasn't quite as impressively accurate.
Unfortunately, no. The user-independent models, which were trained on data from multiple individuals but not the specific person being tested, had a tougher time. While they achieved some success, differentiating between visually demanding tasks like reading versus watching a movie proved to be a significant challenge. And that actually makes sense when you consider how our brains are structured.
You're referring to the fact that different areas of the brain are responsible for different tasks, correct?
Exactly.
Could you elaborate on that a bit for our listeners?
Of course. Our brains are incredibly complex. Different regions are specialized for particular functions. And this particular BCI, because it's worn on the forehead, primarily picks up on activity in the frontal lobe.
So is that why activities like reading, relaxing, and problem solving were easier for the BCI to identify? Because those activities heavily involve the frontal lobe.
Precisely. When we read, for example, our frontal lobes are heavily engaged in decoding language, making connections, and thinking critically about the text. And similar processes are at play during focused relaxation or problem solving. It makes those activities more visible, so to speak, to this particular BCI configuration.
It's almost like the BCI has a limited field of view within the brain, and the activities it was most successful at identifying just happened to be the ones occurring within that frontal lobe spotlight.
I like that analogy. And that also helps explain why differentiating between something like watching a movie, which relies more on the occipital lobe at the back of the brain for visual processing, and reading, which we just discussed, proved to be more difficult. Both activities generate a lot of brain activity, but in different areas that this BCI setup isn't as well suited to capture.
From a purely scientific perspective, It's truly remarkable what they've accomplished. But it does make you stop and consider the implications, doesn't it? To think that we're on the verge of technology that could, to some extent, interpret our thoughts, even when we appear completely still externally.
It's a brave new world we're entering.
It is. What are your thoughts on that? Where do we go from here?
It certainly raises a lot of questions, both exciting and potentially concerning. The researchers themselves envisioned an app that could track time spent reading or relaxing, perhaps correlating that with things like learning progress or stress levels. Imagine a tool that could tell you to take a break from studying when it detects your brain waves are indicating diminishing returns.
Or even for individuals trying to cultivate healthier work habits. We've all experienced pushing ourselves to the point of exhaustion without even realizing it. But of course, on the flip side, there are potential downsides. The idea of our thoughts being read, even if it's just a computer algorithm interpreting electrical signals, is, well, a little unsettling to say the least.
You've hit upon a crucial point. As with any powerful technology, there are ethical considerations that we absolutely cannot ignore. The privacy of our thoughts is paramount. And if this technology advances to the point where it can decipher more complex thoughts and with a higher degree of accuracy, the potential for misuse is significant. So while it's essential to explore the potential benefits of this research, it's equally important that we have open and honest conversations about the ethical implications. What safeguards need to be in place to prevent misuse?
It's a double-edged sword, isn't it? The potential to gain these incredible insights into how our minds work and use that knowledge to improve our lives, but also the potential for that knowledge to be used in ways that could be detrimental. It makes you wonder, where do we draw the line? As this technology progresses, how do we ensure it's used ethically and responsibly?
That's the million-dollar question. And it's not one with an easy answer. It's going to require a lot of careful thought and consideration, not just from scientists and engineers, but from ethicists, policymakers, and the public at large. We need to decide collectively what kind of future we want to build with this technology.
And speaking of the public, I'm sure many of our listeners are wondering about the specifics of all this. We've been talking about brainwaves and BCIs, but what exactly are these things? And how do they work?
So, in essence, brainwaves are the electrical signals that are produced by the communication between neurons in your brain. These signals generate rhythmic patterns, kind of like waves in the ocean, and each pattern or frequency band is associated with different mental states. For instance, alpha waves are most prominent when you're relaxed and calm, whereas beta waves are more dominant during periods of focused attention or mental activity.
So when we talk about a BCI reading your brain waves, what it's really doing is detecting these electrical signals and then using sophisticated algorithms trying to figure out which frequency patterns are dominant at any given time.
Precisely. It's a bit like listening to an orchestra and trying to identify which instruments are playing the loudest at any given moment. Just as a conductor can learn to recognize the subtle nuances of each instrument's sound, these machine learning algorithms are being trained to identify the subtle differences in brainwave patterns that correspond to different mental states or activities.
That's a helpful analogy.
Yeah.
It makes me think of this technology almost as a translator of sorts, converting those electrical impulses into something that we can understand. But if everyone's brain is unique, how do they create algorithms that work for everyone? And not just for the specific people whose data they use to train the system.
That's a great question, and it's one of the biggest challenges in BCI research. One approach is to gather massive amounts of data from diverse populations to train these algorithms to recognize patterns that hold true across individuals. Another approach is to develop more personalized BCIs that can be calibrated to an individual's unique brain activity.
So kind of how some smartphones now have facial recognition software that needs to learn your face before it can accurately unlock your phone.
Exactly. And just as those facial recognition algorithms have become remarkably good at generalizing across faces, despite our individual variations, there's hope that we can achieve similar levels of accuracy and reliability with BCIs in the future.
That would be incredible. Now this technology becomes so seamlessly integrated into our lives that we barely even notice it. But of course, as we've been discussing, that level of integration also raises some important ethical considerations.
Absolutely. As with any powerful technology, it's all about finding the right balance. How do we harness the potential for good while mitigating the risks? That requires a continuous and thoughtful conversation between researchers, policymakers, and the public.
It's a conversation that we need to have collectively. This research, while still in its early stages, offers a glimpse into a future where the lines between our minds and technology could become increasingly blurred. It's a future filled with both tremendous potential and significant ethical challenges. and navigating it wisely will require a collective effort. To ensure we harness the power of these advancements for the betterment of humanity while safeguarding our fundamental rights and freedoms. Well said. It's both exciting and a bit daunting to think about all the ways this technology could reshape our world. But before we get too carried away, imagining a future where our every thought is trackable and quantifiable, it's important to remember that the research we've been discussing is still preliminary.
We are, as they say, just scratching the surface of what might be possible with brain-computer interfaces. There are still limitations, both in the technology itself and, of course, in our understanding of the incredibly complex organ it's trying to interpret, the human brain.
It's a humbling reminder that for all of our technological progress, we are still grappling with the enigmas of our own minds. Yet that is what makes this field of research so captivating, in my view. It's a journey of exploration, not merely of technology, but of ourselves and the very essence of what it means to be human.
A sentiment with which I wholeheartedly concur. And who knows, perhaps by delving further into the workings of the brain, we might not only unlock new technological possibilities, but also gain a deeper understanding of ourselves and the world around us.
Now that's a thought-provoking note to end on. A sincere thank you to our expert for guiding us through this intricate and astonishing world of brain-computer interfaces. And to you, our listeners, thank you for joining us on this deep dive. We hope you found it as fascinating and thought-provoking as we did. Until next time, keep those brains buzzing, but maybe take a break from the Sudoku every now and then.